another thing that I would say is that the best leaders are role models, but really all leaders are role models because they're watching us all the time. And they're watching us just as much, maybe in slightly different ways, but they're paying attention to us even if we're all virtual. So another piece of what can we do as leaders to work on building relationships and trust with our team? Well, we can be making sure that's high on our personal priority list. And one of the ways to do that, and I hinted at this a second ago, is at the start of one-on-ones, it always start with the other person. Like, how are you doing?
Hello there, this is Ben, and you're listening to the Ben Morton Leadership Podcast. It's the weekly show that brings you inspiring interviews with senior leaders and genuine subject matter experts, all designed to help you be the very best leader that you can possibly be. It's my gift to you, and it's totally free. In today's episode, we are taking a deep dive into leading remote and hybrid teams with Kevin Eikenberry, who is the Chief Potential Officer of the Kevin Eikenberry Group. He has spent 30 years helping organizations and leaders from over 50 countries become more effective. He's written a host of books, including Remarkable Leadership, From Bud to Boss, The Long Distance Leader, The Long Distance Teammate, and his latest book, The Long Distance Team. So it's not surprising then that we focused on the leadership skills required to effectively lead remote teams. It's a fascinating episode that I know you're going to love. In particular, we honed in on the fact that despite what so many so-called experts are saying, we don't actually need a whole new raft of leadership skills to lead remote teams. We also touched on some frequently used but unhelpful language, that of virtual teams. You may be leading a team that isn't physically located together, but, and unless it's made up solely of robots or AI apps, it's still a team of human beings. It's not a virtual team. But now, and without any further delay, let's get into this week's episode, which I know you're going to love, especially if you are leading a remote or hybrid team. Kevin, a very warm welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us on today's episode. First of all, let me ask, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. As we're having this conversation, it's St. Patrick's Day, and while that's not necessarily my favorite holiday, any time that we have a chance to celebrate, why not? Why not celebrate?
Yeah, I love St. Patrick's Day. It's also my mother's birthday, so it's always an easy one to remember.
There you go.
So, Kevin, let's get straight into this. I think it's a really timely topic. It's probably been a timely topic for a number of years now. But let me ask you, first of all, when did you start looking into best practices and leadership strategies around leading long distance and remote teams?
Well, I've been leading a remote team for well over a decade. And so in part, I needed to do it because I needed to get good at it myself for our team. And just to give everybody context, our team now, there's about 15 of us spread out literally across the United States. And so at first I needed to do it because I needed to do it for us. But I realized, and certainly working with clients around the world, I knew that it wasn't a new thing. Even, you know, 10 years ago, it was very niche, if you will, right? So as a part of our practice, as a part of our work with clients, it would come up and we would try to help people figure that out. And I guess my belief is that as context changes, as situations change, that there are things that we need to take into account, but the principles, the foundational principles of leadership, Ben, haven't really changed. So in our book, The Long Distance Leader, several years ago, we said, think leadership first, location second. So we've been at this a long time, but I think one of the things we try to bring to the table is let's put the things that are different in the proper context, rather than sort of saying, oh, we got to change everything, because that's really not true.
I love that. And I think we share a belief here, and it's become something that I can quite easily get on my soapbox on kind of lately, which is you see quite a lot in the leadership and management press at the minute. I think we spoke when we was planning this episode and said, well, one of the reasons for that is because people like you and I are trying to sell kind of books and make ourselves heard. So we need something new to write about. But there has been a lot of people saying and writing about this fact that we need a whole new raft of leadership skills for the virtual world, or leading virtual teams, which is something else I want to chat about shortly as well, the word virtual in terms of teams. But I'm the same as you. I really don't think we need a whole new raft of skills. We need to, in some ways, I think, get back to some of the fundamentals of good, solid leadership. And at the same time, I do believe there are certain things where we maybe need to dial up the focus and intention a little, right?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at the end of last year sort of thinking about what does it mean to lead in 2023, and what do people need to be focused on? And I came up with four things. But they're really more four things that we ought to be spending more time paying attention to rather than being new things, right? Like, being a facilitator of focus, being a champion of change, being better at creating clarity, helping people find meaning. I use different words for those four things, but meaning, clarity, focus, and culture, like, those aren't new. They're just, they're at an enhanced level of importance is all.
Yeah. And of those four, are any of those four any more important than others, do you think? If leaders were going to focus on one thing in particular, if they suddenly find themselves leading a team that's remote and 3 years ago it wasn't, is there one thing you'd really encourage them to focus in on because you think it has the potential to make the biggest impact?
Well, Ben, that's like asking me, I can only take one book to a desert island. That's an impossible question. But I will say, since we just released a book called The Long Distance Team, I suppose I should say, being a champion of culture, I mean, there's no doubt that culture is pervasive, and there's a lot of challenges related to it in terms of how people are thinking about it these days. So, and yet, in order for us to have a great culture, we need to be focused. We need to be able to create meaning, and we need to have greater clarity. I think there's a tremendous dearth of clarity in the world for organizations, but also for individuals. Like, where do I fit? What does this mean? How does this work for me, and leading to how can I find meaning? So, I mean, it's hard for me to pull the four apart, but I suppose the other three in some ways sit inside of culture. So I'd probably pick culture.
Culture. Yeah. And is it harder to build, maintain a great team culture when your colleagues aren't sitting to the left and right of you, do you think?
You know, that's a little hard for me because we've been doing it that way, you know, not at a distance for a long time. So where I always come at it is that a lot of people have said in the last couple of years, Ben, well, we just need to get back to the way we were so we can have our culture. Well, you still have one. You had a culture. You have a culture. The most important thing is, how can we use both of those to create the one we really want for the future, right? So you're going to have a culture regardless of where your people are, regardless of how long you've been around. Like, there will be one, because all culture is the way we do things here. So there's one's going to exist. So the question might be, is it harder to create the one we want at a distance? Maybe harder, but certainly not impossible by any means. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would certainly not orders of magnitude harder. There may be some nuances that make we have to be more intentional about, but certainly not orders of magnitude harder.
Yeah, and I think that word intentional is key, right? It comes back to our point around dialing up the focus on a few aspects of leadership when we're leading remote teams. We just do need to be, I think, a lot more intentional about some of the things that we are doing, because I don't know if you'd agree with this, I think to a degree, some elements of creating a culture almost happened by themselves when we're physically located, right? Because we're bumping into each other a lot more as a group. We're having those water cooler conversations and that chit chat before a meeting starts. Whereas when we are largely working remote, it's very easy to lose a little bit of that chit chat before a meeting, isn't it? Because people log on, and while they're waiting for other people to arrive, instead of engaging in a conversation, because our machine's right in front of us, we'll just finish off a few emails or Slack messages and it becomes very task focused quite easily, right?
Yeah, let me say something very specifically about that example, since you used that example. I have long said that we need to make sure that we're opening the meeting room early. Just like the conference room is probably not being occupied. We're not all standing in the hallway waiting to walk into the conference room, most likely. And even if we are, we're chatting, to your point. Mm-hmm. So there's no way people can start to chat if the room's not open, right? So make sure, if you're the leader and you're back-to-back meetings, make sure someone else can open that meeting room and make sure that they do. Make sure that meeting room is open and then let people know that that's okay. I think our team would say that we have a strong culture and that in general, I think people have good relationships with me, et cetera. But I've observed this. Like, I'll be in the room when we open things up and I'll say, hey, I'm going to step away for a second. And there might be a little bit of chatter, but the minute that I step away, the chatter level goes up. It's observationally important for me to know that. But the point that I want to make is this, like if we open the meeting room early and we want that to happen, encourage it. And then what I try to do, even if I'm on the camera, like you and I are right now, I try not to be the one doing the talking. Just let them, encourage them. What I'll do is ask a question of one of them that sort of gets things going. And then I sort of step back, even if I'm still on the camera. And I have been known to let us, although I'm a big believer in starting meetings on time, I have been known to start a little late because we can't get that back. Like if that chatter is happening and it's all sort of good natured and such, that's healthy. And I've been known to let that go 2 or 3 minutes because we can't get it back.
Yeah, I love that. And coming back to your opening point, Kevin, the fact that you've been leading yourself and your team as a remote team for, I think you said 10 years, right? I'm curious, what does coming together physically look like in your organization as well? I'm assuming you have quite a deliberate plan for that as well, opportunities to bring people together?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. It happened in December of 2022. It was going to happen in December of 2021. The airline tickets were purchased. Most everybody was here. A couple of people were with me for a couple of days of meetings before the full group, and someone didn't feel well, took a COVID test, and you know the rest. So the team never all physically met. So we went 3 years, and we added new people during that time and didn't meet at all.
Wow.
But to answer your question specifically, when we do, it's very much intentional to say, how do we... It's got to be almost as much about the relationships and the social aspect as it does about the work. And so just like I say in a one-on-one with a team member that you should always start with the non-work, when we're designing an in-person meeting or when I'm helping a client design an in-person gathering, we put the non-work part at the top of the agenda, not necessarily all at the top of the meeting, but at the top of the agenda. How are we making sure, Ben, that we're taking care of those needs that, yeah, we can still have strong working relationships, but we can't create the moments. We can't create the memories. We can't create that next level of camaraderie in quite the same ways. And so doing what we can to intentionally create those moments and those times. And I think it's about the experiences and the memories, which doesn't necessarily have to mean you have to spend a bunch of money, but it does mean you have to be intentional about how you put it together.
Yeah, love that. Love that. And I guess what we're talking about here links quite nicely to something else I wanted to ask you, Kevin, which is what would you say, again, from a decade of doing this, are some of your top tips for really building and nurturing those relationships and creating a sense of trust between people, again, when you don't physically see them that often, or in your case, for nearly 3 years? Like, how do you do that?
Right. So here's my number one biggest tip. We've been doing this a long time. We've encouraged lots and lots of clients to do it. I talked with a client about it just last evening. When someone new joins our team, it's an expectation within the first couple of weeks on the job that they will have a 30-minute, it used to be a phone call, now it's a Zoom, right? You're going to have a 30-minute Zoom with every other member of our team. Now, remember, in our case, that's 15, right? 30-minute conversation expressly to talk about non-work. In other words, I'm mandating that you get to know each other, if you will, yeah. Right? And by the way, that includes me. Even if the person got hired and I interviewed them and I've had a bunch of interaction with them, there's another 30 minutes where we talk about getting to know each other more. Like, so there's a couple things about that. One is there's the actual doing of it and the value that comes from the interpersonal relationships of it. The second thing is it's me telling the team through that investment of time how important that is. And third, it's me doing it too. Not like this is a good idea for everybody else. This includes me, everybody, right? So at this point, we've been doing this long enough, Ben, that everyone on existing members of the team sort of know what it is and what it looks like, right? But if you were starting this new in your organization, you're going to need to let everybody know, yeah, this is seriously what I mean, right? Like, Ben, you're joining our team and you need to, you know that there's some work interactions you're going to have with Angie. And so you'd be tempted to have that meeting with Angie and say, I'm going to talk about the work stuff. Yeah, I want you to talk about the work stuff, but there's another 20, 30 minutes where you're not talking about the work stuff, right? Separate meeting, same meeting, I don't care, but it's a longer meeting if you're going to do both. And so setting the clear expectation, I think, is a huge piece of that. And I think that another thing that I would say is that we always say that the best leaders are role models, but really all leaders are role models because they're watching us all the time. And they're watching us just as much, maybe in slightly different ways, but they're paying attention to us even if we're all virtual. So another piece of what can we do as leaders to work on building relationships and trust with our team? Well, we can be making sure that's high on our personal priority list. And one of the ways to do that, and I hinted at this a second ago, is at the start of one-on-ones, always start with the other person. Like, how are you doing? So here's how I do a one-on-one. There's three parts. Everybody keeps a list of what they need to talk to that other person about. Both people, right? People have what they call their Kevin list. I have my Ben list, right? And at the start of the meeting, I always start by, we talk about the non-work, and then we talk about their list before we get to my list. Because what does that say? That says, this is our meeting. This is, I'm here to serve you. Many of the things, if we're well connected, many of the things on each of our lists are the same. By letting them go first, it changes the dynamic greatly. Sometimes we end up sort of negotiating and they say, hey, I've got three things. Two of them are bigger. What have you got? And we sort of negotiate it, but you know, in a way. But the reality is that I show them it's their meeting by how I run the meeting.
Yeah, love that. Hey, quick one for you. I want to make sure that you know about my 10 for 10 leadership program. It's an online program that's totally free. It's bite-sized and it covers some of the most common leadership topics and challenges that I frequently get asked about. It's also a course that gets consistently great feedback. You can find out more by heading to the online courses page of my website at ben-morton.com.
I think it says, in my view, it doesn't say this is our meeting. I think when we do that as a leader, it very much says, hey, this is your meeting, right? To your point, I'm here to, A, how are you? What's important to you? Both of those things say, this is your meeting. I'm here to be of service and in service of you, right? Which is, that's leadership.
And here's the good news. That strategy is, you've got to have your intention right. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to follow that new technique. Like, you got to be doing that for the right reasons. But if you are, that is not hard to do.
Yeah.
That any leader, whether you've been doing it for 40 years or 4 days, can do that.
Yeah.
Just change your focus. Be more intentional. If you want relationships to matter on the team, how are your relationships with the team? Because if yours aren't great, guess what? What are the odds?
It's so interesting. This word intentional keeps cropping up. And the more I reflect on it, Kevin, the more it's probably the word I find myself using the most when I'm talking about leadership, right? I've just before I jumped in the studio to hit record with you, I was reading something about transitions and how as a leader, we are constantly having all of these transitions throughout a day from when we drop our kids off at school and get back in the car. Then we're out of sort of mom or dad mode into commute mode. And then we walk in the door and going between one meeting and the next, or going from working on a presentation to going into a one-to-one with somebody. We've got all of these transitions, haven't we? And it's so easy to not acknowledge those and just bounce from one thing to the other. But then what energy are we carrying over? Like, where's our focus? And I mean, that being intentional about, okay, I'm going into a one-to-one. How do I want to show up? How do I want my team member to feel during and after this meeting, and just being intentional about it is so powerful, right?
Yeah, and if we are going from one to one, and we've all experienced this, and I hear it every day with clients, you know, Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting or Teams meeting, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting, we need to take a minute, take a deep breath, center ourselves, focus on what's the desired outcome for this next thing. How do I need to show up? And I can do that in 15 seconds. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't need some longer breaks. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, in that moment of transition, I really love that, Ben, that in that moment of transition, I need to show up intentionally, and I need to be present and not still be in the queue at the daycare, right? It's been a long time since I've had a child in daycare, but that's what showed up in my head. To move my focus from that to the traffic scenario, from the tough client call I just had, to the one-on-one I'm having next, to the report that I'm frustrated by writing, or whatever it is, right?
And I think, like, not only does that require a degree of, and here's the word again, intentionality, when we're physically co-located with our team, like, that needs a degree of intentionality. But I think it becomes even more important when we're remote, right? Because if we're physically in the office with people, we're going to go for a one-to-one. Likelihood is we're going to be sitting near each other in an open plan office, or I'm in my office and I stick my head out and say, hey, Kevin, kind of let's go. We've got your one-to-one in the diary. And we might walk down the corridor together to a meeting room or go and grab a coffee. So you've got that slight state change, right? Whereas if we're doing it at home, I can be at my desk, hang up one call, go on to the other, and I've not even stood up. So we need to, again, it's the theme of this episode, right? We need to dial up the focus.
In my case, it's even sometimes one person leaves and I give the next person the link to the same meeting room, right? Like, I do nothing except hit paste.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So yeah, there's no doubt that that's right. But even in that moment, to your point, I can choose. I'm not saying I always do, but it's in my control to say, okay, how do I need to be for Eric right now, right? Where's Eric right now when he's showing up, and how can I best serve him? How can I best coach him, whatever that might be? And so, yeah, maybe I didn't stand up and turn around. Maybe I didn't go down and get another cup of tea. Maybe I didn't do, but I can still, on the phone, on the Google Maps thing, right? Like, sometimes it gets out of, and you hit the button that says recenter.
Yeah, nice.
We can always recenter.
Nice, love that. And we touched on coaching a little bit there as well. How, if at all, do you think sort of coaching and giving feedback to our team, how does that differ when we're working remote versus when we're physically with our team?
Well, I think a lot of people's first concern there, Ben, is, well, I can't see the work. To which I always say, really? I mean, you still don't see the results of their work. I think the mistake there is people say, well, I can't see them working. I said, well, you couldn't see them working before. You could just see them. I mean, unless you're looking over your shoulder, you don't know what they're doing anyway. So you need to let go of all of that. But sometimes, depending on the nature of the work, there may be a difference in what do I know about the results, or I need to make sure that I know what's going on in that regard. So obviously, you know, that plays a role in coaching. I think that environment plays a role in coaching, of course, right? If we were in the office, we would talk about where do we want to do that. If we're going to do it, like, if you were in my office here, we wouldn't. Well, in the old days, you could sit across the desk from me, and now it's just a darn studio, right? My office looks like a studio, but, you know, we could sit at these other chairs across the room here, and that would be a good place for us to do coaching. Well, now we're doing it at a distance, so. Whenever I'm doing a one-on-one, there's going to be a coaching component to it, whether it's things they're doing fantastic, things that we need to work on. Like, one-on-ones ought to be a part of those ought to be always about coaching and feedback, whether you want to think about that as formal or informal. So I like to set an expectation with people to say that when we're having those, that they're able to have their door closed. We're not having those meetings if they're working from home, right when their kids get home from school.
All right.
You know, just sort of again, simple things to set us both up to be successful in that regard. And back to our comment about back to back, and we can say all we want about getting recentered and getting refocused, but sometimes you look at your calendar and say, you know, is this the best time for me to do this? Because you used the word timely at the start of this conversation in a totally different context, and it made me giggle, because because you said it's been timely for 3 years, which is kind of funny. Here's my definition of the word timely: soon enough to make a difference next time.
All right. Nice. Yeah.
Sometimes people think timely is, oh, immediate. So in terms of coaching, the worst time to give coaching, especially on something corrective, is when you're upset.
Yeah.
Or when they're not ready. If I'm coaching at a distance, I want to make sure that we're both ready for this to be successful. And that may mean that we need to wait another hour, or we may need to wait till tomorrow, right? Like if I've just been in 5 meetings in a row, I might say, hey, you know what? I need for us to, can we move this back? I did this yesterday. I sent a note to one of my team members and said, hey, can we move this back 15 minutes? I needed to finish something, and I wanted to be able to be present with that person. And they were gracious, and they said yes. And I think we had a better meeting. It wasn't just coaching, but we had a better meeting because of that.
Yeah, that really resonates with me, what you shared there, Kevin, about kind of moving things back. I'm maybe it's the soldier in me still, but I'm very much one for being punctual and timely. And if I've committed to somebody, then I'm going to not just be there, I'm going to be there a couple of minutes ready to go. And at the very same time, like one-to-ones are important, right? So if I know that my mind is elsewhere because there's a mini crisis that's kicked off and I've got to deal with it, or I've had a difficult phone call and I've been emotionally triggered, me going straight into a one-to-one with someone in my team, I'm not being of service to them. I'm not being fair to them. So I'm with you in those situations. I would definitely say, hey, Kevin, I know it's your one-to-one right now. I just need 5 minutes to finish this, or 5 minutes to just to reset and go for a walk because I just had a tough call. Can we delay 10 minutes? Is that okay? Or even it could be worse. Say, do you know what? I'm going to be of more service to you if we do this tomorrow. I hate to postpone, but can we? Because then I can give you my best. I think being clear about kind of our state, and again, back to transitions, right, is so important.
Two things about that. First of all, I would like to hope that anyone — this wouldn't necessarily be true of all leaders, but I bet it is of everyone who's listening to you and I right now, because they've chosen to listen to you and I right now — is that you would want your team member to tell you that, hey, I need a few minutes. So why can't we give ourselves that grace and share that example? Because we create more psychological safety for them when they see us being healthy with ourselves, right? So there's the first thing I'll say about that. The second thing I'll say about that is, and I learned this several years ago, there is another thing that's different when we're not in the same location, right? Like I have a team member who I would often, like too often, say, hey, I need 5 minutes. It was becoming a bit of a habit, but I didn't think it was a major problem. The other person on my team, you know, her work didn't really operate around a calendar like mine did. But one day she said, Kevin, you know, if we were in the same office and I could see that you were scurrying around, that 5 minutes wouldn't bother me. But when that happens several times, it makes me wonder if I'm important.
Wow.
I've never done that with her again, because that wasn't my intent. And I so appreciate — now, she may not have said it exactly that way, but she got to the point of like, I don't know, like, really, everything else is a higher priority than me, which was not true. I just got myself into a little bit of a bad habit with her because I knew that she would grant me grace. But at some level, we got to be careful, because again, and she said it very clearly, if I could see that you were running in and out, if I see that your door had been closed because you'd been in meetings for 2 hours, like, I might get that, but I don't have any of those clues. So I still don't have a problem with it once in a while, but when it seems to become a habit, then I start to wonder about where does that put me in your priority list? And she is 100% right, or was 100% right.
Wow. That's such a powerful story to make us stop and think and realize that, right? Because all we see is the output of someone's kind of action or behavior, don't we? We don't see the reasons why when we're all working remotely. That's really powerful. Yeah. And you could easily think that 5 minutes is really insignificant, but it's what message — not necessarily what message does it send, it's the interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, her point was never that it was a problem once. Like, I don't think any of what the story I just told negates what you and I were talking about before. Mm. I'm just saying, oh, by the way, remember that. You know, leaders for 100 years have said, well, maybe not 100, 50 years have said, well, I have an open door policy. Well, first of all, many who say they do don't really. That's a different issue. But the reality is, when they're remote, they can't see the darn door.
Yeah.
And if all they do is look at your calendar and see how it looks like mine and like many of yours, they may say, when is the door even open?
Yeah.
And so that means we've got to make sure we're creating space. Like next week, I have to travel by car to a client site, a longer call during the workday. And so my calendar says driving available by phone, which means my team knows that they can get me hands-free. I'll be safe and all that stuff. They know they can get me at any of that time. It's cool, right? But it's still blocked because other people like Ben can get on my calendar, right? Like, so it can't just be open. And so I will often block time, but the team knows they can still get at it, even though it's not available to the general world, if you will.
Yeah. And that's interesting as well. Like leaders saying, hey guys, I've got an open door policy, or my door's always open, whether it's a physical door or a virtual door, right? I was chatting to somebody about this just recently, and they said, you might say that, but still chances are few people are walking through that door because you're the boss. They think you're busy. They don't want to interrupt you. They want to be an intrusion, et cetera, et cetera. So you can have an open door, but you've got to walk through it yourself and get out there and make that effort yourself to break down barriers, talk to people, check in how they're doing, because they ain't going to be walking through your door by themselves in the majority of cases.
Tom Peters and Bob Waterman had it right in 1983 when they said we need to manage by wandering around.
100%.
And so if we do that, we become more approachable and they feel better about being able to come in reverse, if you will. Plus, if we're out wandering around, those moments where they might have needed to come in the door, they don't need to, right? Because we solve those in real, closer to real time. The first time that I had a conversation on my podcast with Tom Peters, this was pre-pandemic. He says, Kevin, how do we do management by wandering around when people are in different, you know, countries or wherever, we're not in the same office? And I said, is it managing by frequent flyer miles? I said, no, it's leading by webcam. Right. I mean, that was kind of a flippant comment at the time, but the point was we've still got to make time and space, whether it's on our cameras or whether it's not, to interact with our folks. My goal every day, it's one of the things on my list every single day, is what I call my rule of five. And that is that my goal is to have five interactions, not transactions, interactions with different team members each day. If I'm not doing that, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I think another way we can flip leadership or management by wandering around is leadership or management by phone. And it's weird that we now say like picking up the phone is old school, but randomly, not planned, not a scheduled meeting, pick up the phone towards the end of the day at lunchtime or whatever. Hey, Kevin, nothing on my agenda, just for pick up the phone and check in. How you doing? What are you up to? Super powerful, right? How easy is that?
Yep. Agree 100%. Yeah. These things are phones, right? This thing I'm holding is a phone, although many people forget that they can use it for that, right? I wrote a blog post. Yeah,
you can hold it back, to your ear.
Like this, not like this. Back sometime during the pandemic, I said that the phone was the most forgotten communication tool that we had.
Yeah, totally. Kevin, I've got a couple of quick fire questions I like to ask guests on the show to bring today's episode to a close. What would you say is the one book that you've read that's had the most significant impact upon you? Or maybe to ask the question another way, what's one book that you find yourself frequently recommending to other people?
Well, for me, the Bible would have to be at the top of that list. But I will tell you this, and I'll pick something that maybe none of your guests have ever picked. One of my favorite books is by a guy named Og Mandino. It's called The Greatest Miracle in the World. It's a short book. It was a parable before parables became popular. The Greatest Miracle in the World. It gets at us starting to recognize and see our own potential. And it's a big part of what we try to do at the Kevin Eikenberry Group is help people see and then move towards their potential.
Love that. I'm going to add that to my personal reading list. I'm going to check that one out. Thank you. And seeing as we was just talking about phones, other than your mobile phone, what is the one item you would say that if it were to be lost, stolen, or broken, you would immediately find yourself going out to replace?
Well, in my case, it would probably be my laptop. It's where my work is centered. It allows me to serve our clients. It allows me to serve our team. Yeah, it would be my laptop for sure. Next might be this really, really great camera that I have that you can see me through right now. But that's a different story.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an amazing conversation. The time has flown by, and I've personally taken so much from it. Really enjoyed chatting with you, and I know everybody listening is going to get huge value from today's episode. So thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much. It was super fun, and I'd do this with you anytime.
I'd love to know what you thought of this episode, folks, and whether or not it resonates with you. So do please connect with me on LinkedIn to let me know what you think, or just click on the feedback link in the show notes. And whilst you're down there looking at the show notes, do remember to check out my free 10 for 10 leadership program. It's designed to help you master and refocus on some of the basics of great leadership. And finally, before you go, can I ask you to do just one thing that will take no more than 3 minutes of your time? Please can you rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening? It really does make a huge difference and enable us to keep attracting more and more better and better guests for you to listen to and learn from. And finally, if you're enjoying the show, if you're getting value from the show, then please share the link with your friends and colleagues and on your social media channels. That's it for this episode. Look after yourself, look after those you've got the privilege and responsibility to lead. And until next time, lead on.